Welcome back to Officially Unofficial, presented by Blue Wire Podcast. I'm your host, the former face of junior college baseball, the Fall American, Johnny Junta. And we're here with a special guest. He's another Big Ten guy, former Indiana Hoosier flamethrower, who's now a prospect for the Boston Red Sox. It's my pleasure to welcome to the podcast, Matt Litwicky. How are we doing, brother?
I'm doing well. I'm glad to be here, that's for sure.
No, it's like I said, we had a Big Ten guy on last week. The people might get pissed off. We're just firing Big Ten guys. But I wanted to go into that. I mean, like I said, Indiana, we haven't had an Indiana guy on the show. First question I want to ask, which I ask all the Big Ten guys, I'm a Michigan guy. I'm a Michigan fan. Is Indiana a party school?
Indiana has their fair share of fun, that's for sure. Low 500, that's definitely a different beast.
What's low 500?
Low 500 is like a, it's like a spin off the Indy 500. So like all the frat and sororities, they get like a bike team together and then they have like their own little race with it. But it's basically just like a week long of no classes. Well, there's classes, but no one really attends them. That's for sure.
So what's it like for athletes there? I mean, are you guys participating in that? Or obviously you guys have to go to class and stuff like that, but are you guys massive participants in the low 500? I might have to attend that sometime in the future.
Oh, yeah. You should definitely go sometime. If you're going, let me know. That's for sure. But usually they try to get us traveling that week, so we're not even on campus. I got to experience one little 500, though, when I had Tommy John in 2017. And it was different living the normal college life. That's for sure.
You miss it. I'll be honest, man. Like, obviously, I went to school in Nebraska. I didn't go to Nebraska. I went to a JUCO there. And when I come back to Canada and I see, like, what it's like to be, like, a normal student, I'm like, what the fuck was I doing? Like, why was I an athlete? Obviously, you're nasty, so it makes more sense. But for me, it's like, why did I waste my fucking time? Like, I wish I just got after it. And trust me, I was only there for 2 years. So I had my fair share of fun at the schools here, but it's just crazy, the whole difference of experience. Like, when you're done class, you're done class. Like, you don't have weights. You don't have any, like, study hall, none of that shit. You're done class. You go home, do whatever the fuck you want. It's crazy.
Oh, yeah. My brother, he's only 18 months younger than me, and he was at Indiana, too. And we definitely had a little bit of a different college experience.
That's a lecture. So what is your brother there? Is he still there, I'm assuming?
Yes. So he's just studying. He is a biology major, and he's trying to get into, like, kind of like the fitness industry.
Okay. So he's yoked. So he's a yoked guy.
It's actually kind of funny because so I'm about 6'1", 6'2", and my brother, Kyle, he's about 6'8", about like 250, so...
So was, like, the Indiana baseball team trying to recruit him to get on the bump, or what's the deal there? Because he probably throws absolute fumes.
Yeah, he was actually better than me in high school, but he ended up having Tommy John in high school and didn't, like, recover the same way that I was able to. But, no, he was definitely the better of the two, I would say.
And in high school, I read, credit to me for doing the research here, I read you were, like, a top 10 prospect in the whole state of Indiana. I also read that you were an honorable mention for the PG All-American team. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So in high school, what? So was SEC an option for you, or was it just, I'm going to stay to my roots, blue collar guy, I'm going to stay Big Ten?
So I've always kind of wanted to go to Indiana. My family's doesn't have too many college graduates. So the few that have graduated and gone to college, they've gone to Indiana. So I kind of just fell in love with it ever from the get go. And once they offered me, going into my freshman year of high school, I took the offer and just went and ran with it and loved it ever since.
So, and we mentioned this all the time on the show. Did little part of you was like, fuck, I wish I just, like, verbally, obviously you verbally committed, but I wish I would have took my 5 visits to all these nasty SEC schools and got after it with the boys there. Like, was a part of you like, man, I wish I could maybe go to, like, Miami here and, like, party with the guys on a visit, even though I'm not going there?
Yeah, I mean, Once I got a little older into kind of like my senior year of high school, I was looking a little bit at schools just to see like what they're all about, really. I mean, I was dedicated to Indiana, but I kind of looked at it and I was like, oh, I kind of wish I would have, you know, rode out the recruitment train a little bit longer, but
Yeah, so Indiana was like, Indiana was like your first love. I mean, that was the school where they offered you first, they trusted you first, and they, you jumped the gun. Realistically, I mean, they got to you young, and I respect that. So, but you in high school, like I said, I mean, Indiana baseball, I'm assuming it's kind of like the same what it is here in like the Toronto area, where there's some guys that are nasty and there's some guys that won't even crack a JV high school team on majority schools in the South. So were you just absolutely fucking dominating in your high school, or what was that like down there?
So my area in high school was actually pretty good. We had a couple good programs around me, but for the most part, I mean, if you threw above 90 in high school, was you could dominate with just the fastball. So I had a lot of fun. We had a good team too. I had a couple guys on our pitching staff, at least. We had a kid that was committed to Purdue, Butler, and then another D2. So we filled in pretty nicely up there.
So why didn't you, and obviously I'm a big MAC advocate, why didn't you go to the MAC? I mean, for me, the MAC is the most electric conference in all of, and for football, obviously, in the United States of America. Was the blue-collared part of you wanting to a little bit, was a MAC school knocking on the door for you? That's what I'm asking.
To be honest, no. Really, realistically, I had a couple Big Ten schools reaching out to me at that age. I mean, I committed kind of young, but because everybody thought I was a year older because I played on an older team. So when they started to find out that I was a 2017 instead of a 2016 high school kid, it kind of steamrolled the whole Big Tens are coming at you type of thing.
So what schools fucked up and missed out on you? Was Michigan on the door there? Michigan State? What was it? Purdue?
I talked to Michigan very sparingly at that point, but Purdue mainly, Michigan State, Illinois talked to me a little bit, nothing crazy. But by the time I committed, there wasn't much.
Okay. So, I mean, and everyone mentions this because I'm assuming Indiana is kind of close to where your whole family lives, right? And so you're obviously really close to home. So was part of you kind of thinking like, I kind of wish I didn't stay close to home and got that experience living in like, let's say Arizona, playing for ASU or playing for Miami? Because obviously you're a freak, top 10 in the whole state, which is disgusting. So, I mean, was a little part of you saying like, or especially even now, are you as far away from home as possible, or are you still in Indiana grinding?
So right now I'm down in Fort Myers with Instructs with the Red Sox, but I'm living in Bloomington to train, still use their facilities and whatnot, get with the new pitching coach, Justin Glant. No, it's Glant is his last name for sure. So I am training there in Bloomington, using their facilities and whatnot. They're letting me train there for free, which is a big bonus with the minor league payroll. But I was far enough away from home that it was kind of like I live in about as northwest Indiana as you could get. So it's about 4 hours away from campus. So it was far enough to where mom and dad couldn't stop by every single week, but close enough when my clothes needed to be washed, I could drive up
there. I respect that. That's a power move. And do you own, and this is just a dumb question that I was thinking of right off the bat, do you own those weird Indiana pants that are white and red and that are massive? Looks like, I don't even know how to call them. They look like Will Smith pants in one of his music videos or
the
whatever.
Candy stripes.
Yeah, you own those?
So yeah, they gave us a pair of shorts every single year. That's what we would kind of like practice in on Thursdays when we were at other people's places, like taking BP and stuff. We'd wear the candy stripes.
I would be, and I'm not going to say no. If you want to send those down here to Toronto, I'll wear them every single day of my life. I mean, those things are absolutely electric. They probably make the calves and legs look dynamite.
Oh, yeah.
So if you want to send them down, I'm not going to say no. I don't know how many pairs you have, but we'll get something going here. And like I said, I'm a Michigan guy, but hear me out. I'm a Michigan guy for football. For baseball, I'm a free agent. I said last week to Jeff Criswell, if they acknowledge my existence on this podcast existence, they'll be my baseball team. They didn't. They liked the tweet. They didn't retweet it. So they're dead to me as of right now, just like they were last year when we had Jordan Wogu on. So you get Indiana baseball to at least acknowledge this. I don't know if you have the pull. You probably do have the pull. You get Indiana baseball to acknowledge this. I will claim myself as an Indiana baseball podcast.
Deal. So I'll get that in the works for sure.
Get it done. Indiana baseball, if you're listening to this, I will be the presenting podcast of your franchise, of your team. So, and I mentioned Michigan, and a couple of the Michigan guys actually said there was kind of a rivalry between you two. Is that true? What went on there? I heard someone was, I don't know if it was someone talking shit at second or shortstop. What yeah. happened there?
Sorry. I don't know. You're good. No. There's definitely a little bit of tension between Michigan and Indiana. That's for sure. It's just kind of, they're always pretty good. We're pretty good. And then for some reason we hate each other at the end of the day. But I mean, it is what it is. There was a lot of tension this year. There was a fan that would not stop, and he was ruthless, yelling like just whatever he wanted. He sat on our side. He got ejected out of, I think, the third game on the weekend. And it turned into a whole thing.
Really? So it was a fan that started. It wasn't even the team. So, and here we go. So what's that one team in the league? And I'm assuming maybe it is Michigan because they're dead to me. What's that one team that's arrogant? Like that one team that everyone in the league seems to have a rivalry against. Like, is there one school where it's every time we go there, their fans are either arrogant or their players like to get chirpy? Like, what is it? What team is it?
Honestly, I would probably say a lot of the teams had an issue with us. We definitely, well, I mean, we kind of played like, I mean, I've lost some better words, but we kind of played like assholes. We kind of played like we had a chip on our shoulder. We weren't big fans of Nebraska. I mean, they had a walk-off on us, and they were like double flipping us off and stuff. And it was just like, what are we doing? Like, we just played you guys in one game. But other than that, no, I think that a lot of teams disliked us just by the way. We had a lot of kids.
So you guys are the bad boys. You guys are the certified bad boys of the Big Ten.
If you honestly – that was our head coach, Jeff Mercer. He coined like the bad boys as like our personality, to be honest. We watched the documentary. We had multiple talks about it. We have it hanging up in our like quotes and stuff in our locker room. So it's actually funny that you say that.
So you guys were like the certified. It's like you guys were like that football team that's not punting when you guys are up by like 30. Like you guys are going for it on fourth and one, which is something that I respect. So was there situations in which that was like you guys would like to get out of there? Like would you guys be bunting up like six with a runner on second and no what? Like what was some of the shit that you guys would do? Or just was it playing hard?
We had a lot of kids. Pitchers that pitch with like overly passionate, I guess you could call it. I was one of them. But other than that, yeah, we kind of honestly we played until we knew the opponent was pretty much dead.
I can respect that. Like I said, man, I love the bad boys. I love the bad boys of baseball. So that's a respectable term there. But just Nebraska. I mean, we haven't had a Nebraska guy on the show just based on the fact that honestly, that's actually what the Michigan guys said too. They said Nebraska was pretty much like the biggest clowns on the planet that they played against. So I can definitely get behind that. And you were like you adopted to a closer role there. I mean, you were pretty much the full-time closer. What was your walkout song there at Indiana to get the people going?
I had a couple, but my main one was Welcome to Jamrock by Damian Marley.
Yeah, I can that's a power move. That's an absolute power move. Gets the crowd a little bit grooving. Was there big crowds there at Indiana when you guys would play?
When crowds were allowed, yeah. We had a decent amount of turnouts, but in the county, we didn't really allow full capacity. Well, we didn't allow any capacity for a while, but pre-COVID, yeah, when we played Purdue, it would get pretty big just because that's kind of a little rivalry in itself. Just Purdue versus Indiana is a big one. But, yeah, I mean, they get pretty packed. Nothing crazy like an SEC school, but we'd get our fans. Yeah.
And this is just another dumb question, but I had to bring this up because I read that you just gained like 6 miles an hour after you getting the surgery. Is Tommy John, should it be considered a PED? I mean, I'm reading articles here. You're throwing low 90s getting into Indiana, and now you're like touching triple digits after Tommy John. Is that correct? So what's the deal with that? Like, did Tommy John just rejuvenate you? Should it be considered a PED? Or like, let's go into that. Like, how did this happen?
So a lot of what I had to contribute to it was a lot of the different training that you do with it, the recovery process. But a lot of it had to do with honestly just in the weight room and getting that extra time just to be in the weight room alone without having to worry about throwing and all that extra stuff is all of it combined kind of just helped me out a lot. That's for sure.
So you so did they change everything in your throwing motion? Like, what did they do? Or is it the same thing, everything?
So when I first got to Indiana, I was big leg lift, long arm, and I was like 2 seconds to the plate. So I wasn't even like a usable guy at that point. So we shortened up the arm action, shortened up the leg kick a little bit, made me a little bit more efficient down the mound. And velo kept ticking up a little bit. And then this year we really kind of dove into a little bit of more of like biometrics and stuff and how I'm actually moving and whatnot. And then we just saw the velo kind of just explode up after that.
Okay. No, that's insane. So, and when did you know you needed Tommy John? Like, how did this happen? Was it an injury on the mound? Did you hear something pop? Like, what's the Tommy John story?
So the Tommy John story is actually kind of a weird one with me. So in high school, I knew that I needed it, but my brother had already gotten it and my family really couldn't afford a second one. And by this time I was already committed to Indiana. So throughout my sophomore, junior, and senior year in high school, I would take a roll of duct tape. And I would just roll it from basically the tip of my shoulder down to my mid forearm so I couldn't feel my hand when I was throwing.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. So
was it clear tape? Like, how did they not know that? So how did they not see that?
It was black duct tape. And then I'd throw an Evo Shield sleeve over my arm and just like for looks.
No, I can respect that. Like, honestly, man, especially if you could throw with it and you were throwing absolute gas with it anyways, with needing Tommy John, which is even more crazy if you think about it. That's just incredible. So good for you. And then, so when you get the Tommy John surgery and after it, how slow and boring is that process? Because we're friends, like I'm pretty good friends with Forrest Whitley on the Astros. And it looks like, I feel like he got the surgery like 4 years ago. Like, yeah. Even talking to him, it's like, Jesus Christ. Like, he's just starting to throw. It's crazy.
No, it's a long process. It's an annoying process. It gets monotonous, but my trainers did a good job at kind of keeping my head on straight and making sure I was staying on the right path. It definitely is not something that I would wish upon my worst enemy, just because those 13 months of just kind of like just every day doing the same thing, finally being able to straighten your arm. And that's supposed to be a win. Like little things like that. It's just like learning how to wipe your ass with your left hand. That was a tough one. Just little things. Like it just gets so much and like so quick that it seems like it's taking even longer than what other people think it seems like.
And the thing that's even more crazy about that is like, you can't golf. I'm assuming you can't even play video games because like you're using your out. Like, I mean, you're kind of using those muscles. I'm not the smartest, but you can't do shit. So what were you doing to keep yourself busy during that time? Like, were you just watching that? Like, what was going on there?
So basically what I did was I figured out a way to play video games a little different than I usually do. And because you're in a giant robo arm with it wrapping around your whole hand. So I took the thing and I folded it back so I could just move my wrist and I would just play video games like that.
That's such good for you, man. Just always weaseling, trying to find a little way to do something. And then, so obviously being in the closer role, you didn't get that many innings pitched at Indiana. I mean, I think you had like 26 games you were appeared in or something along those lines. So did you know you were going to go in the draft in the top 10 rounds? Was like that early for you? Was that late for you? Like, what was the deal with that? Because obviously there's a lot of potential in your arm, and especially the fact that it's a new arm now pretty much, and you're throwing 100. Was that what sold teams on you?
I think what kind of sold teams on me was the fact that each year I was getting like progressing. So I think that kind of played a huge role in it, being that my first year back from Tommy John, I was probably topping out at like 90-ish. And then each year kind of saw a little bit more. And then this final year at Indiana, I was actually able to combine the throwing strikes and throwing harder thing aspect of the game. So I think that kind of sold a little bit more teams on me. But honestly, I heard going into the draft, it was just about everything that you could hear. Like I heard, oh yeah, we love you, we'd take you in the fourth. And then I heard like, oh no, like you're probably going to drop towards like the mid teens to like late teens. And I was like, all right, as long as my name gets called, I don't really care. Like you give me an opportunity, I'm going to run with it. So
were you always like, and I'm pulling up your stats here, like, is this good people? I mean, you had a 0.9 ERA your sophomore year. Was that the year that kind of made you realize, like, listen, I have a chance to make, like, to get drafted. Like, I'm a little bit better than the people around me. Like, was that the year? Because those numbers are insane. And yes, it's a small sample size, but a 0.9 ERA, and then you come into games and you carve against Ole Miss, which I'm reading right here, and Cincinnati and all those kind of guys. So was that when you kind of realized, like, I have a chance, like, I'm a dog?
Yeah, honestly, that was, like, my biggest thing was, like, my mentality. I was almost pitching a little timid my first, like, 2 years at Indiana, just because, you know, you're trying to do the best you can. The second you give up any type of hit, you're, like, you get a little bit rattled when you're that young. But I think my pitching coach, Justin Parker, really kind of, like, put that mentality into my head where, like, hey, you're going to go out there and you're going to dominate. And then that year kind of was where I started to flip the switch and figure out, hey, you can dominate at this level if you really choose to, and started falling, and then COVID cut our year. So
yeah, true. No, that's definitely true. And I'm going to ask you about a couple guys that you played against, cause I didn't even realize this. So did you play against front of the pod, Taron Vavra?
I did not. So that was the year I had Tommy John, was when we played the Minnesota team with Taron Vavra, but Taron Vavra was our father that weekend. That is for sure.
I want to tell him you said that, dude. He's such a good dude. And I've heard stories about this guy. And the crazy thing is about Vavs is, like, when we have minor, like, we've had other minor leaguers on the pod and stuff like that, and I say, like, who's the best hitter you've played against? And it's Taron Vavra. A lot of people say that. I believe he was a minor league player of the year at one point. Was he that nasty at Minnesota too, where everyone knew who he was? Everyone knew this guy rakes. Was that what it is?
Yeah, we had I remember going through, like, the pitching meetings and stuff. I mean, I wasn't traveling, but I was, like, kind of listening on it. And they were talking, okay, Taron Vavra is going to be here in the lineup. You're not going to throw him a strike. You're going to throw it all around the zone, and you're going to hope that he just hits a ground ball to shortstop every single time. Needless to say, he didn't hit a lot of ground balls to shortstop that weekend. But, yeah, he was definitely one of those hitters that everybody was kind of wanting to stay away from.
And what about Jordan Wogu? I mean, this guy's numbers at Michigan were fucked. I mean, I think he had 374, 354 his the year they made it to the World Series. So was that another guy where it's like around the Big Ten, everyone knows who this dude is because he's a man amongst boys?
Yeah. I mean, I faced him one time. I don't know what happened in that at bat, but you want to talk about a presence in the box. I mean, he steps in the box and you're like, you're looking at a middle linebacker in the NFL. Like, he's a monster of a human being. So obviously you're not going to throw him a lot of fastballs. I don't even think I threw him a single fastball when I faced him. I think when we faced them, I think that he had a decent weekend against us too, but I can't be sure on that.
It's crazy. Like, honestly, the Big Ten is very, I guess you could say, underrated, man. I mean, some of these guys coming out of it, like, even a guy like you that obviously not that many innings under your belt, you're blowing 100 past hitters. It's not like you're just, like, not throwing that hard. If you're blowing 100 past hitters, like, you could easily pitch at, like, an LA, like, these SEC schools. It's just you're in the Big Ten. Like,
yeah.
And Jordan Wogu and Jeff Criswell, all these guys, man, I think that Michigan team that made it to that College World Series kind of helped put, like, in, like, the Big Ten on the map, man. I mean, because
that's 100% agree. They, as much as it sucked that it was Michigan in the College World Series, it was kind of, I mean, it was nice to see a Big Ten team go out there and do what they did. I mean, they held out against Vanderbilt. Like, kudos to them that year, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's just that coach, like, I love that stadium too. What was your favorite Big Ten field to play at?
That's a good question. I mean, Bloomington's beautiful. I did like Michigan's, to be honest. It plays quick, though, and when I played there, I was kind of a ground ball guy, so wasn't my favorite place to actually pitch at, but I would probably say Michigan is, or Michigan State if it's warm. We played there, and it was like 28 degrees this year, so I like Michigan State's field, too.
Yeah, no, Michigan, I played there a couple times, and what I noticed there is just, like, it's not so much the stadium so nice, just how close you are to every single thing, you know? I mean, you're right beside you're close to the Big House, you're close to the hockey rink, Yost Arena, which is right beside it, and it's just the brick wall in left field that looks like the Green Monster. It's just, everything about it for me looks unreal, so that's definitely one of those fields I just hate, especially being a pitcher there. I would just hate it because the turf is so fast. Ground ball in the shortstop and third base gap, you're fucked. So
yeah.
What would you say? Because obviously you guys, let's say, I mean, I'm assuming when you guys would go to these SEC schools and maybe you guys would get after it, see the college football atmosphere and all that kind of stuff in the fall. What would you say was like the best party atmosphere school that you guys visited? Like one of those the schools where it's like they get after it. Those fans get after it. The students get after it. It looks like it's an absolute electric school.
So there's I remember when you say that, like two come to mind. One was Coastal Carolina. We played there in like a round robin type thing. It was like Coastal, UConn, and there was one other team. And they actually had a tailgating lot right outside our bullpen. And they were like, they're offering us shots. They're offering us beers. And like, we're just sitting there trying to ignore them, like trying to be professional. But that was a cool atmosphere. They were good fans, a lot of good people. And then LSU was fun. They were rowdy. I remember it was the home opener of the COVID season and Coach O was throwing out the first pitch. And so he throws out the first pitch and he's walking off the field and he's chanting, "Fuck IU." And my buddy looks at me and he goes, "We're not winning this baseball game. We're not winning this baseball game." And then, I mean, we went on to, I think we lost like 4-2 on the home opener. So it was a good game, but like he looked at me after the game too. He goes, "I told you we're not winning that baseball game."
It's the whole atmosphere aspect, man. And I wanted to bring up that what it was like at LSU, because you guys played there, like you said, opening day. So it must have just been legitimate, sold out fans out, or even just the shit that fans said to you. Would fans come at you the hardest since you're that guy coming out of the bullpen? You're the known closer on the IU. Like, what was that like?
So, it was actually kind of funny because, like, their bullpens are right upside the front row of their stadium. So it's right down the left field line. You're facing the fans when you're throwing as a righty. And there was like these like five or six little kids just yelling at me, because I wear the sports glasses. Yeah. So they're like yelling at me, saying like all this different stuff. And like, I got done with my outing and then I come back to the bullpen and like, they were all like, "Oh, I'm so sorry. Like, didn't mean, we were just trying to rattle you before you got in there." And I was just like, "Oh, wow. Okay." Cool fans. But when I was warming up, I was like, whose parents are you? Like, why are you yelling at me? Why are your parents letting you just scream at me and throw rocks at me right now? Like, but no, it was definitely cool.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
It's a different beast down there, man. And I say it all the time. I mean, you see it. The Big Ten's pretty good, actually, fans-wise and all that kind of stuff. It's just the SEC is a whole nother beast. For baseball, for everything, I mean, we've had a couple guys that played for LSU that would tell stories about the parties there and all that kind of shit. It's like this, it's insane. I mean, the SEC is just a whole other beast, and it's unreal to see teams compete in the Big Ten in there. So, and let's go into your career. I mean, obviously, like I said, not that many appearances being the closer. What would you say is the most electric appearance you had on the your most electric appearance in your whole career? One where it's like you get chills even thinking about that shit.
My favorite appearance, honestly, probably was like my 4 or 5 inning outing against University of San Diego. That was fun. That was during the COVID year, because usually I'm not going that many innings. And like when you kind of fall into a little bit of a roll and getting to go back out, it started to get pretty electric towards like the fourth or fifth innings.
Yeah, no, I mean, and you played at Ole Miss too, though.
Yeah.
I mean, you played at Ole Miss.
When we played Ole Miss, we played at ECU.
Oh, you played at
ECU. In like a round robin type.
So that was like that weird round robin shit. Okay.
Yeah, no, I mean, that was a good stadium to play at too. I remember the coach, the coach comes out, we're beating ECU, and they were ranked like something crazy high, and we kind of went in there as a little bit of the underdogs, and we were beating them, and I think it was like the eighth inning, and my buddy's on the mound, and so the coach comes out, gets ejected, tries to hype up all the fans. My buddy blows three fastballs right by the guy, and he's like walking. He does like the Conor McGregor strut off the mound, and he's like, we're fucking here, let's go. And I was just, that was an electric day too. That one was a good one.
That's so sick. I mean, I wish I was nasty at baseball so I could do that shit, but that will just never happen in my life ever unless I do a first pitch somewhere. But no, that's absolutely dynamite. And then you get drafted by the Red Sox. One of our really good buddies, Chase Sugar, is actually with the Red Sox. I believe he was with Greenville this year. He's absolutely disgusting. Just like a 5'9" guy throws 98. So was that one of the teams that was the most interested in you? Or because we hear stories all the time that people get drafted from teams that had legitimate no interest in them on draft day.
Honestly, so they weren't too high on me. Like, it seemed like they weren't too high on me going into the draft. I had a couple teams. The Dodgers liked me a little bit. The White Sox liked me a little bit. But the area scout that got me drafted, he called me that day. It was probably around like the fifth round. He started talking to me a little bit, and I was like, oh, the Red Sox are kind of interested, huh? And then he called me in the 10th, and he's like, and I love to talk, love the sound of my own voice, but he calls me and he's like, hey, we're gonna pick you up. And this was right before, like two picks before they picked me. He's like, hey, we're about to pick you, like, go sit down in front of the TV. I just hung up the phone on him, didn't say anything, just went right to the TV and saw it, and I was just like, wow, the Red Sox, I love that.
Yeah, no, it's just, you're staying with the blue collared guys, man. I mean, you go to Indiana, now you're just with the grimy Red Sox. So, and even looking at their minor league systems, and Shug has told me some pretty good things about the minor leagues there. I mean, good teams, sick facilities. That Greenville facility looks unreal. Do you kind of have an idea where you're going to be, like, obviously next year? Because this year you're in Instructs right now, right?
Yeah. So I don't have anything really – they haven't really talked about anything like that. I mean, being a new draft guy, kind of – they're just trying to get my feet wet, really. But I'm hoping to be high A, low A. Start out low A, work up pretty quick through high A, get into double A pretty quick, hopefully. Fingers crossed.
Yeah. So did they tell you that you're going to adapt to, like, or stay into that closer role?
Yeah.
Or are you going to be a starting guy?
I think the term that they're using is just reliever right now. I kind of have to develop a little bit more on the off-speed stuff to have a shot at the starting roles, but there's a lot of good arms down here. So I'm happy to be in the reliever role right now and hopefully work my way up to the starting role one day.
So when is Instructs even done? Like, describe Instructs to us. Like, what, just describe it to the people.
So Instructs this year, it's a two segments in the month of October, and each segment is about, I think it's 10 days each. And basically you come down and you go through each day, and you'll have individual meetings on nutrition, weightlifting, what we want you to see develop, and then kind of just stuff like that, kind of just gets you ready for the off season.
Okay. No, that just sounds like my worst fucking nightmare, but whatever. Are you guys allowed to, like, what are you doing in the off time there? Are you golfing? What are you doing?
A lot of video games, and there's a movie theater right next to the hotel that they have us in. So that's pretty nice. Get to go see some movies. But other than that, kind of just hang out around the pool. We head to the beach sometimes, you know, when we can afford the Uber, the like $25-$30 Uber over there. But most of the time we're kind of just chilling around the hotel, you know, playing cards and whatnot.
Yeah, no, okay. I mean, what are you touching right now on the gun? Like, are you still staying at the close to the 100 range, or what are you doing right now? 98?
Yeah, so right now I'm like, it's just bullpens right now, kind of. And I'm kind of working back up to the bullpens because I had a little bit of shoulder tightness, and they're like, we don't want to really do anything crazy with you right now. So I was rehabbing down here for a while and then just kind of working back up into bullpens. So can't really give you any numbers right now, but hopefully when I get back on the bump, hopefully I could be up back towards like 98, 99, touching 100.
Okay. I mean, were you guys competing ever for like the Big Ten championship in Indiana? Or like, what was that? Or was there a heartbreak that I don't know about?
The heartbreak was the Ohio State series. They swept us in a 4-game, and that basically – that was kind of the point where we could either fold or, you know, battle back, and we kind of had some – some of our hitters would get hot at certain points. Some would be get a little cold. We had – I mean, we had a great season on the mound, that's for sure, but it just kind of would come together at certain times. We wouldn't be able to really compete against the cream of the crop in the Big Ten.
So who's some of the guys on that from that Indiana team, like draft pick wise? Like, was there a lot of guys drafted in the top 10 rounds, top five? Like, what was so, there a lot of big time guys?
Yeah, I mean, we our Saturday guy, McCade Brown, he got drafted by the Rockies. He's a dude about he's like 6'6", 240 range, and he's probably mid to upper 90s with like a 3,000 RPM curveball. And then, yeah, I think he had the most strikeouts in the Big Ten this year. Don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure.
So he went high? Like he went like top?
I think he went in the third round.
Oh, okay.
He's rich.
He's rich.
Yep. I already let him know that when we get back to Bloomington, that drinks are in him. That's for sure.
Is there an alumni weekend there? Like, because what's it called? Jeff Criswell last week announced or said that it was for the Rutgers game for Michigan 2 weeks ago where all the baseball guys went back and got after it together. When's your guys?
Our alumni weekend actually was last weekend, so I wasn't able to go. But we have a bunch of alumni that just live in Bloomington and train in Bloomington. So it's almost like every single weekend's alumni weekend down there.
I might, whenever, like I said, I mean, I circled it on the schedule. I think I actually planned it with Lugbauer. I think Michigan versus Indiana at the Big House, I might have to make an appearance to that game. I mean, well, Indiana football is kind of fraud, right? I mean, we're not. Penix is terrible. I mean, last year he was good. This year, this guy's obviously horrific. I mean, who did they lose to this year? That was a really bad loss. I'm trying to think for Indiana.
I mean, you name one of the games that they played in, but they almost lost to WKU. That would have been heartbreak. Got beat bad by Penn State, got beat bad by Iowa. They're in like a little bit of a freakout mode, I would imagine. But I don't know. I love Tom Allen, the head coach there. He's a great guy. He came and talked to us a couple times. But he's like one of those guys that no matter what your level is, if you're like a freshman that is playing on the tennis team, he'll treat you like you're the big shot on campus, like no matter what. So he's a good guy, and I always, you know, have to root for those Indiana football players, but they're struggling right now, to say the least.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but there's no hockey team there, right?
We have like a club.
What the fuck is that shit? Why not? I don't know. That's the dumbest thing ever. Do you know how electric that shit would be for hockey at Indiana? That'd be sick.
I actually knew a couple of the hockey players. Well, the hockey club players. Yeah, good dudes. They drink, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, I could imagine. I mean, the hockey guys at Michigan got after it. It's just I couldn't even imagine what it'd be like for the club guys where it doesn't really – not really as competitive or even matters as much.
Oh, yeah, so. They were like playing their hockey games, and then one of them was like a DJ at the bar that night, and it was just like – it was the perfect setup.
That's so sick. So would you guys get special obviously, the football team gets special privileges. Like at bars, clubs, they get to skip the lines, all that kind of shit. Would the baseball team have that much pull at Indiana?
I would say it was more because we knew the right people. So a lot of the people that liked baseball were bouncers and whatnot. So we liked to definitely use the VIP entrance for pretty cheap. But yeah, no, I wouldn't say too much pull. I know the basketball team at Indiana just because.
Oh
Indiana,
my God.
Yeah.
Those guys' DMs are probably – I don't even want to know. For Indiana basketball, I mean, that's what it's pretty much known for, right, Bobby Knight? So what's the deal with Bobby Knight? Is he loved there or is he hated there with all, like, how fucked he was as a coach? Like, is he, like, a legend there?
Oh, absolute legend. So he really? Came back. Yeah, so when he left Indiana, he had never been back to the campus. And then – 2 years ago, he came back for the first time, and he actually came to an Indiana baseball game. That was the first thing that he came to, and like on the Indiana campus was an Indiana baseball game. And we were standing room only, just like I'm talking like shoulder to shoulder, like you're at a packed club, just because Bob Knight was there, just sitting there.
Holy shit. So yeah. did he, I'm assuming like no throw, didn't throw the first pitch, none of that shit. Like he was just there to just to be there.
Yep. Just there to be there. And then that night he, during halftime, the basketball team, recognized him and gave him a nice little, like during halftime, gave him a nice little chance to talk and whatnot. But he is loved by many.
That's crazy to me, especially with like the cancel culture shit going on now with all that kind of stuff, that a guy that was so, I guess you could say, aggressive in his coaching style and like very old school is still loved nowadays. You got to tip your cap to that, because I'm assuming he put Indiana basketball on the map with all the shit that he did there. So what would be more lit to like pregame for, like get after it before the games for? Was it basketball? Was it football? What was it?
So honestly, I have not been to many basketball games just because we don't really get tickets into the game for being an athlete. You still have to buy them. You get a
discount. Really?
Yeah. But the football games, no one really went into the football games when I was there because they weren't good until my senior year. Really good, like name on the map, like top 25 type team. But so no one would really go into the football games. It was basically just tailgates with a football game going on next to the tailgates.
No, dude, you're right on that, man, because I never really even heard about Indiana football until last year, and when they lost me money when Penix dove in for a touchdown overtime against Penn State, where I live bet Penn State. I'll never forget that game. That game broke my fucking – I will never be able to recover from that game. So when you're a quarterback at Indiana, even if they're shit, are you guys just – are they just known around the campus as that dude? Like it's like untouchable guys?
Yeah, I mean, Penix is also a great guy from, like, the very limited times that I've actually, like, talked to him one-on-one. I mean, he's a great guy. He's definitely very well-spoken, very humble. So, I mean, I like him. I know that a lot of people love him just because, you know, he's a quarterback. But he's actually a really good guy, and, like, I'm glad that he gets the recognition that he deserves.
Who would you say is, like, the most famous Indiana baseball player ever?
Like, baseball?
Yeah.
Kyle Schwarber.
Oh my God. I even realized Kyle Schwarber went to Indiana. That is crazy. Like, does he come back and like watch the games and shit like that?
He hasn't been back in my time there, but apparently because he's a little bit out of it now, there's been a couple coaching changes between the time that he's played and now, but I mean, just knowing that he went there and kind of, now he's balling out in the big leagues. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, it definitely. So are we talking like retired jersey there, like number retired, like
no
over on the walls? Really?
No. Yeah, no. But he's definitely on our walls and stuff like that. So he was part of the only Indiana team to go to Omaha. So they're plastered on our walls. And
there's a couple other guys. There's a couple other guys that went to Indiana.
Travis. In the big league.
Travis?
Yeah. Sam Travis.
Sam Travis, I don't know who that is, but okay.
He's up and down with a couple teams recently, but yeah, he was another one. So
Schwarber's the big guy. Like that's obviously the big guy.
Yeah.
Okay. No,
there's another Aaron Slagers. He's pitching up in the big leagues right now.
That name sounds familiar.
I think he's with the Rays right now.
That name sounds familiar. Yeah. Okay, that name sounds familiar. So what team in the Big Ten is I'm assuming it's Michigan, but what's the big dog team in the Big Ten? Like the number, like the powerhouse every single year with the most big leaguers, shit like that.
Yeah, that one. This year it was us. I think we had six get drafted, but usually it's between us and Michigan, and Nebraska had a decent amount of draft guys this year too.
Okay. No, that's insane. So what would you say, and this is the last question I need to get here, what would you say is your favorite story or your most fucked story from Indiana involving fans, involving like just bus broken down, anything along those lines where it's just like just a good story you have to end the podcast, like get the people going a little bit here?
A good story. There's a couple. Like
a fan interaction.
Fan interactions, not so much. I would say I had a couple people. So Romeo Langford walked into when we were at a, we were at a restaurant or something. Romeo Langford walked in, and one of my buddies knew Romeo Langford, and he walked up and said, "Hey, to us and whatnot." And like, there, everybody's asking for his autograph and all of this. And he's like, "Oh yeah, these guys are on the baseball team. You guys, you know, you should check them out." Like, you know, and the, I just remember it plain as day. Dude looks at us, looks me dead in the eyes and goes, "Yeah, I don't care." And then just, just hands him his stuff to sign. And I'm just like, "All right, yeah, I figured that was going to be the reaction that I got."
There's nothing more degrading than just a fan or just a random person getting an autograph beside you or ask. Actually, the worst one is being the designated picture guy. Like when guys would come here to Toronto, like when guys come here to Toronto and play, and obviously like we humble brag, have a couple guys in the big leagues, pretty good amount of guys in the big leagues that come on the show, and I go to see them and fans are just like, they're beside me asking this guy for autographs, making me designated pitcher bitch. There is nothing more degrading on the planet than just someone not giving a flying fuck about who you are. They want the guy beside you. Like, there's degrading.
I was just like, yeah, I get it. Not a big deal, like Romeo Langford. But I was like, you could have just had me sign something. I would have signed just anything. Pretend. Yeah. Like, you could have thrown it out on your way out. Like, I wouldn't have
cared. True. No, there's two sides of the spectrum. Because one, I don't want to be, and I say this all the time on the show, I don't want to be that like first round draft pick for a massive team like the Red Sox or the Cubs, where you can't even play in a minor league stadium without getting bombarded with autographs, like Bobby Dalbec. Yeah. Can you imagine the shit that Bobby Dalbec had to deal with, especially coming up in the minors?
Marcelo Meyer, he, our first round draft pick this year, fourth overall, the kid's 18, excuse me, but he's like walking up and down the hotel and like people are like yelling at us to find Marcelo for them so he can get signature, like give out signatures and stuff. Like, we'll be like walking down the street going to grab something to eat. Somebody will yell out of the car, like, "Hey, do you guys play with the Red Sox?" And we're like, yeah. And they would just be like, "Where's Marcelo?" Like,
really?
Yeah.
Like I said, there's a lot of bad people in the world that commit terrible crimes. Okay. But the people that are up there with me are autograph seekers and ball hawks. Those two old people that are trying to get autographs from, like you said, literally an 18-year-old. This kid was in high school, not even 4 months ago.
He literally just got done with like biology class.
Yeah, there's literally 40-year-olds swarming this 18-year-old to sign a piece of paper. Like, that's the shit to me that just doesn't sit right. That's the most like, obviously when I was a little kid, I was collecting autographs, of course, when you go to Jays game, shit like that. But if you're a 40-year-old man, you're trying to collect autographs from an 18-year-old, you're just the biggest loser on the planet. I said that time and time again.
It's actually crazy. It blew my mind how like many people and like the like diversity of people, like you said, like some people were like older, some people were younger, and Marcel was very personable. So, you know, he tried to give everybody what they wanted, but like the amount of people who would just hound him for stuff.
Really? I mean, that's just, and it's crazy because you're not even, I mean, you're not technically in, I don't know how to say this, you're not technically in like the Red Sox country. You're not in Fenway. You're not out of Fenway. You're at a hotel near your spring training facility. So it's crazy to me. And holy shit, I'm actually just Crete Marcelo. This kid's going to, I don't want to know what this guy's DMs are like. He's a Cali kid from San Diego, committed to USC, just discussed the game of baseball. How good is this kid? Is this kid a freak?
Oh yeah, he's good. I was screwing with him. Like when he first got here, like barely knew the kid, I would like, you know, toy with him a little bit, like haze him a little bit just because he's 18. But the first day we were taking BP, he rolls over. And like, you know, I'm yelling at him from doing the bucket right behind second base. And I'm like yelling at him. Next round, he just goes backside bomb, pull side bomb, backside bomb, pull side bomb. And I was just like, after I just walked up to him, I'm like, "You're fucking good. You're fucking good at this game."
Dude, I might have to DM this kid. I might need this kid on the show. This kid, it just has it all. I mean, this kid has the long hair. He honestly looks like, I say this to all the Cali kids, I said it to Glasnow, he looks like he wore like shark necklaces when he was a kid, like the shark tooth necklaces in Cali. Maybe was like, he looks like that, the stereotypical of that kid. I don't know if you saw that video where it's like, welcome to Redland Skate Park, pussy. He looks like he's a skate park kid. I mean, this kid's dynamite. I love this guy. So is he one of those guys where you're seeing right now, like in the instructs, where it's like, this kid's going to be, if he keeps this shit up, he's going to be a big leaguer forever. Like,
yeah.
He's a freak.
Yeah. I mean, he's a lot bigger than I thought he was when they were just talking about him and like raving on about him, but I'm like during the draft. So like the first day I met him, I was like, holy shit. He's like, I mean, he's every inch like 6'3", but he's high school. So he's a little skinny right now, but I mean, he's going to put on the weight. He's going to get big. I think he's a potential big leaguer for a while.
Isn't it crazy that next year in the minors, you guys are going to, like, you and the boys after a game are going to get after it, you know, like have a couple beers. And this kid's not even allowed anywhere near a bar for like 3 years. Like,
yeah,
he's exactly. Not even allowed anywhere near it.
Yeah. We had two high school kids get drafted. Well, three, I don't think one didn't sign, but two that were here, they're after the draft. And like, I just looked at them and I was like, I'm so much older than you. Like you can't do anything right now. You're 18. You can drive. That's all you can do. You can just drive.
He just got his license. Like this kid, it's mind boggling to me. Can you see it with NHLers too? Like there's 18-year-olds getting drafted to the show in the first round, like Hughes and all those kind of stuff. This kid is not going to be able to legally have a drink for 3 years. He's going to be grinding in low A because obviously he's 18. He's not going to be skipping levels. Like he's going to be grinding low A, high A, double A. He might even be in rookie ball at some point next year. Like he's going to be grinding in the league and he's going to be playing with like I said, guys our age, like in the 24-year-old range. And we're going to look like you're going to look at this kid like, what the fuck are you doing here, dude? Like, go party somewhere.
Yeah,
like,
that's 18. I mean, Blaze Jordan was the same way. He was down here when we first got down here, and I was looking at him, and I'm like, I think he would only be 19.
Yeah, he's 19.
And I was just like, this motherfucker is just so young. And then, like Marcel, he's taking BP, just bomb, bomb, bomb. And I'm just like, okay, get this kid the fuck out of here.
It's mind-boggling because these kids, and we don't even realize this shit because they're in the minors now. They're in the systems. Like, these kids were playing like Timmy from fucking biology class like a year ago. The kid that didn't give a shit about baseball, he just played it because it got him like girls in high school. Yeah. And he's going up against first rounders against the Reds, like of the Red Sox. Like, this guy is going to go from playing that to playing grown ass men. Like, he's going to play guys that went to school for 4 years that were like super seniors, seniors, COVID seniors. He's going to be going up against those guys, and he's probably going to rake against those guys too.
Oh, yeah.
It's insane.
No, Marcelo definitely, he got walked, I think, four times in his first four at bats, but his first professional swing, he swung through a curveball, and I swear to God, he missed it by probably 25 feet. Like, I was just like, we gave him shit about it for weeks after, but he adapted really quickly. He's definitely got a future in the game, that's for sure.
Well, first of all, this kid is also just now a multimillionaire and he's 18. I mean, this guy's probably I wouldn't be surprised if he is ripping around in like a Rolls, like a range or something. Like,
I think he said that when he went back home, he was gonna get himself like a BMW SUV or something like that.
Jesus Christ.
I don't know what he said, but I know it's going to cost a lot more than my like 2003 Mercury Sable. That's for sure.
And his buddies are just like grinding to make ends meet in college. And he's just a multi-millionaire because he's gross at baseball. So good for him.
Super anyways, humble kid too, though.
He's humble. He's humble.
Yeah.
I would be the cockiest human. If I was in his shoes, and I say this all the time, I would be legitimately the cockiest dude of all time. I would be the biggest asshole of all time. If I'm 18 years old, I'm a multimillionaire. I have 30,000 followers on Instagram. I would be the biggest douchebag ever. So credit to him for being a humble dude. So do you see this kid? You're like, man, you have so much to fucking learn. You don't even know half this shit that you're going to be dealing with here in the game of baseball. Because he probably dominated his whole life.
Oh, yeah.
His whole life.
Yeah, I mean, given that he'll probably dominate for a while, in my opinion. But, I mean, just being that he's 18, we kind of hazed him like he was a freshman a little bit, you know, kind of just like, yeah, we'd be like, oh, shut up, you 18-year-old. And then, like, we'd realize, oh, yeah, wait a second. You signed for literally what
we you make more than literally my parents will make in their lifetime.
Exactly.
Like, you just signed that, and you're 18. So
you just put your name on a piece of paper.
At some point, you got to get close to him just so at the point where it's like when you guys go to dinner, it's just obviously on him every single time. Yeah. That's what it has to be.
I mean, he's good about that too, though. He is good about that too.
Good for him. Tell him we're knocking on the door because we have Chase Petty coming on the show in a couple of weeks. First rounder for the Twins. The guy's disgusting.
We played him down here a couple times.
Really?
Yeah.
What is he? Is he nasty? He looks disgusting. Like, is he a freak?
Yeah, he was. He threw well against us. I think he had a little control issues against us. Maybe I don't really remember his outing exactly, but I remember he was 4-6 with just. Rise on the fastball. Just
I don't know how people hit that shit, man. I'll tell you right now, I really don't. But anyways, man, I mean, obviously it was a pleasure. Like I said, just a Big Ten guy, blue-collared, fucking steel toes, hard hat, just an absolute legend. I appreciate you coming on the podcast, man. Best of luck, obviously, in Instructs. Hopefully you carve the first round guy just to put your balls on the table for the scouts. But it was a pleasure, man. I really enjoyed this. Thanks for coming on, brother.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to Officially Unofficial. Make sure you guys subscribe and leave a review on iTunes and follow us on Twitter at Official Unofficial Pod and on Instagram at Officially Unofficial Pod. Thank you.